You know what? I think anger can bring us together. That's it. Go.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for March 12th, 2018. I'm Janine Faddish, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Standis.
How long have we been doing this?
I was expecting something longer. Usually, you go much longer.
Do I? I'm sorry. I'm long-winded.
It's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I'm Scott Standis. Thank you, Janine Faddish, and thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Boy, this is really disjointed. This is okay. This happens sometimes.
It does.
Sometimes it happens. So let's just dive right in. We're going to keep it a short, simple, sweet, fast kind of a show today. So on Sunday, we had You Can Do Anything. Is that this week's that we're talking about? I always forget. Are we talking about the Sunday that just passed?
Well, that's the last one.
Okay.
That was yesterday.
Did we have comments on that one?
We did. Most people, they enjoyed it.
Let me explain what it was. It was Winslow, he's always trying to fly. And he always fails. And so he's at the bottom of the cliff. He's failed again. He says, and at the beginning, he says, you know how there's people who tell you that you can do anything you put your mind to? And he says, I don't think those people are being 100% honest.
Well, most people commented that, well, yeah, but you have to, like, obey the law of physics and not keep trying the same thing you're failing at over and over again.
Right. Well, that's the funny part. But here's the thing. You aren't going to succeed at everything you try. No matter how hard you try, you may or may not make it.
Right.
Or more importantly, and I was talking to an aspiring artist and just a terrific talent, but I said, you know, do your life. I would love to have been Charles Schulz. I would love to have made $50 million a year. I'm sure you would have liked that also. But I didn't. But I got to have a career that where I only drew cartoons for a living. And that's pretty cool.
It is.
So, you know,
did what you love.
You may not succeed at the level you want to succeed to. You may not achieve what you think you can achieve, but you're going to achieve something if you keep trying. So I don't want to dissuade people from trying, but I just thought it was kind of a funny.
Yes.
Actually, it made me giggle.
People seem
a little
to enjoy it.
So the week goes on, and it's humans are never satisfied. Why do we, if things are so good, which they are, it's a great time to be a human being. Fewer wars, less poverty, less hunger. And less violence. I mean, it just really is, as far as humans go, as far as we can go, it's a pretty good time to be in, and yet we still feel like we're so unsettled. So the week started that way. And is there even a chance we will stop screaming at each other? Probably not. It's kind of what we do.
Well, Tired of This says, we are no longer on the same team, and it'll take more years of misery till we acknowledge this, then even more time actually doing something about it.
Well, and I went on to say in the next strip about how, you know, we should have hope about uniting, and as Winslow points out, it seems like the only time we unite is when there's a war, and sometimes not even then. So, and that's, you know, that's, anyway, so that's kind of an ugly reason to unite, but you have to be optimistic or you don't. We have kids, so I'm optimistic. And that makes a difference. It does, because it also makes you cognizant that there's a future and you want the future to be better.
Correct.
So, is anger a platform? I'm sure we got some mail on this. It's the last 3 or 4 days.
Right. Legalized Guido said, unfortunately, after 8 years of a Republican Party that had no platform other than not Obama, now the Democratic Party has caught the same disease. We do need a better message than not Trump. To which JLG replied, liberals have a platform, Democrats don't. Thus, our teeth-gnashing frustration. The Democratic Party establishment is running as fast as it can from a substantive policy platform of the type put forward by progressives like Sanders, despite the empirical fact that it has long had majority support across the board.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true. I've had a number of friends, including Ted Rall, who's appeared on this, been a guest on this podcast, author and cartoonist, talking about how the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is being shoved aside by the establishment part of the party. Both parties are kind of wrestling with this right now. You had the establishment, and then you had either the right wing of the Republican Party, the left wing of the Democratic Party, and where that leads us, I don't know. But the Democratic Party, and I know it's arrogant for a Republican or a conservative here to dictate or try to suggest what they should do, but I'm interested in politics, and I want a vibrant, vivacious opposition party. I do. I want them to be, you know, in your face. I want to be competitive. I want this to be the marketplace of ideas. And we're not, we're not, we're not there yet. And so the Democrats running in this the midterms here in 2018, I don't see a unified kind of, for instance, they won't even say, for instance, here's a great for instance. You can't get a Democratic candidate running for Congress. If you win, would you vote to impeach the president? Very few of them will even answer that question. And I think that that's a basic question. You know, what are you going to do about, you know, well, we want to bring back Obamacare. How are you going to do that? We're angry. And I get that because I'm right there with them in, this, in the sense that I'm never Trump conservative kind of guy. So do we have any other comments you want to touch on, Janine? Or why are you staring at me?
Because you kind of go all over the place now. None of the comments go with whatever you were saying.
Well, just bring up a comment and we can talk about that. That there doesn't have to be seamless. This is you heard the beginning of the show. You know it doesn't have to be perfect.
Here we go. Jay Gray talking about the common good. He says it can't exist when the saying capitalism is bad and white people are to blame in the foreground psyche of the progressives. I kind of think that has been this week's arc. Week's arc is about trying to find a common ground that goes beyond reflexive name calling, to which Darson 54 responded, nor can it exist when minorities are scorned as illegal, drug dealers, murderers, and the like. When large portions of the population are systemically excluded from the vote, aren't allowed financial opportunities, and on and on and on, and pointing out that it's a systemic problem with authority, public and private, which happens to be mostly run by white guys, is not racism, just proper identification.
I get that, but I don't think identity politics, I think it hurt the Democrat, it has definitely hurt the Democratic Party over the last few cycles, because, you know, look at the 30 plus legislatures in the United States are Republican, 38 governors are Republican. I mean, identity politics are divisive on the face of it. Now, all that being said, I don't think they're unimportant. I think they're important, but I don't think it should be the core of what you're running on and what you should be running on. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You're about to say.
What do you mean by identity politics then?
Well, like
don't the Republicans run on that too? They run on Christian conservatism.
They do, but they also and run on tax cuts. They run on deregulation. They run on broader issues that I think Democrats should do too. I think if I was in charge, we would have a very healthy, robust debate about healthcare. That's the number one concern of most people today. We're heading towards a majority freelance economy. You know, when people don't have staff jobs and by extension don't have health insurance or they don't have access to affordable health insurance, that's a massive issue. And
it's a very difficult thing to discuss because nobody seems to they tend to occlude it quite a bit. Remember, we had a friend who was talking about her brother who hated Obamacare, even though he was on it.
Yeah, I know.
But he didn't realize he was on it. He liked the Affordable Care Act. He didn't realize that was the same thing as Obamacare. So people just throw all these wrenches and these screens into it and names, and so
right.
We don't actually discuss the actual issue.
But the Democrats have been trying. I think they're soft selling this. And I think that's a mistake in 2018. I suspect they'll take over one of the houses, if not both, of the national legislature. But it's going to be a lot closer, and it's not the slam dunk they think it's going to be. We have time for one more comment, please.
Well, these are kind of two because I didn't finish that one from JLG.
Sorry.
He said, if Democrats would run on infrastructure renewal, universal health care, a green energy jobs bill, Wall Street reform, abolishing corporate political donations, expanding education access, and a host of other populist policy positions, they would be presenting a true alternative path that would benefit the entire country. To which Michael Roland One responded, I'm a conservative and I agree with JLG. Now, there are some policies that I do disagree with, but not to the extent that we couldn't work something out.
That's beautiful. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's
I thought when I was listening to what JLG wrote, I think that's the platform. And just say that. But unfortunately, the National Party in particular is shackled with the Clintons still. And I'm convinced I had this discussion. I have a bet now with a friend of mine that Hillary's going to run in 2020. I say that all the time, and I believe it. Still.
Because most people, when you bring up Honey Bunny, you're Hillary person, they're like, not again, quit dragging her out.
Well, she keeps dragging herself out. I guess that's a thing. Anyway, hey, listen, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. We're awfully glad you listened. Thank you, Janine. And thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer, and to WGN Plus and WGN for allowing us to use their equipment. And especially thank you to you for listening to this week's edition. If you want to follow the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're certainly more than welcome to. Go to gocomics.com/Prickly City and leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. And if you want to send us a note directly, you are more than welcome to. So go ahead and send it to pricklycity@gmail.com. So for all of us here, thank you again. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.